Hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. We have been hearing so much about NAD. Today, we have Courtney Van Bussum from Longevity Launch Labs. She's going to teach us a little bit about cellular health, longevity pathways, and a new product to Longevity Launch Labs, which is 1MNA. Courtney's a dynamic entrepreneur and a leader. She has a background in biomedical engineering from Arizona State University, and she's joined the Boulder Longevity Institute, where she spun off and co-founded Longevity Launch Labs. This is an incubator, and it's based on advancing cellular and longevity medicine with innovative products. So as the chief operating officer, she's been really instrumental in bringing these new products, sometimes discovered in other countries, sometimes scientific new ventures, but I think it's really fascinating. Welcome to the podcast, Courtney.
Thank you so much, Dr. K. I'm super excited to be here and excited to share more with your audience about NAD and cell pathways and all the stuff that I get really excited about and hopefully can bring more people to get excited about.
Amazing. So you're connected to Boulder Longevity Institute. I guess that's kind of shown you a new pathway for people to find health and success in their, process of learning longevity. Tell me a little bit about your path. When you started as an engineer, what made you venture into longevity?
Yeah. So when I went to study biomedical engineering, I did it just because I liked science and math and biology, and it was a good combination of all of that. And when I was in my degree, a lot of my friends would either go one of two ways. They were either going to be doctors or they were either going to be engineers, like hardcore engineers. Mm-hmm. And I never really fit that bucket. I was always much more interested in kind of the business side, or how do you actually bring a product that you've designed to market? So I ended up kind of leaving this world for a little bit, went and worked in marketing, got some other experiences before I got called back to it through that channel of longevity, because I felt like this space and Boulder Longevity Institute gave me a platform to kind of combine all of those things that I'd learned with the passion to actually deliver that care, not just be in, a research lab or spending I'd still be in med school at this point if I had gone that route. So that's kind of how I landed there. And, you kind of mentioned how we spun out Longevity Launch Labs. But what's really neat about BLI is that we've always been at the cutting edge through this lens of cellular medicine, right? And you kind of just learn about things before they become more prevalent on the market, because you're looking at the cell level of how is the cell working? Is there a molecule that can help a function do better at the cell level? And we kept getting all these, cool concepts or cool ideas and things that we wanted to explore, but we didn't want to muddy the waters of BLI as our, clinical laboratory. And that's really where, the science is pure and it's there for the patients, and we're just learning. When we take that product and actually take it to market, we wanted that to be in a different space. So that's how Longevity Launch Labs came about. And 1MNA, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, but that was one of our flagship products that kind of led us on this journey. We, partnered with a group out of Europe and really brought this molecule to the States, which has been quite an exciting journey. So that's just a little bit of my background and how I came here.
I love it. I want to dive right into some of the pressing issues. So I think it's fascinating that you guys have gone overseas and gone abroad and resourced different ingredients that are super amazing supplements. Everyone is talking about NAD, but what are some things that they don't know about NAD, and exactly what is 1MNA?
Yeah, so let me just start kind of at the highest level and then we'll work our way down. So NAD, part of why it's gotten so popular, for lack of a better word, is it's in every single cell. And it's super important to how our cells produce energy. It's basically the spark plug of our cells, if you will. And why, it's caught on is because it's in all these cells and it manages. And then everyone says, oh, well, it decreases with age, so that must be a bad thing. And we need to get more NAD in our system. Well, really, when we age, our cells start to dysfunction and we start to actually use that NAD in different ways. And so as you dig into the science a little bit more, you start to see maybe it's not so much a conversation of our NAD levels decline as we age, but it's a little bit more of we're using that NAD faster and for the wrong purposes as we age. And that might not even be aging. That's when we're sick or when, you know, we're in a disease state, regardless of age. And so that NAD system, just to give the high level to introduce 1-MNA, the way that it works is there's a pathway in the NAD system that we get most of our NAD from called the salvage pathway. And the salvage pathway takes nicotinamide and turns it into NAD, right? And so that NAD or that nicotinamide turns into NAD, and that NAD then that's why you see a plus on NAD a lot, right? Because it's electron donating, or sorry, it's an electron donator. And so that's allowing it to start that electrical signaling process of oxidative phosphorylation, the electron transport chain. And at the end of that is ATP. And ATP, right, is your cell's energy food. So without NAD, we don't have ATP. Without ATP, our mitochondria have no energy, and without energy, we die. So that's like why it's so important. But there's more in that little circle than just nicotinamide to NAD to ATP. There's these other enzymes that keep the system in balance. And so they manage how much NAD is getting produced and where it's being sent. And there's two molecules that I'll talk about briefly. And we'll go into the science just a little bit, just so people can understand it, and then we'll come back up high level. Mm-hmm. But the NAD degradative enzymes, one of them is called CD38. Mm-hmm. And CD38 will actually take and eat that NAD as it is at the end. And there's another one called NNMT, or nicotinamide N-methyltransferase. And that one will actually eat nicotinamide. So it takes the nicotinamide before it turns into NAD. And those are both necessary processes, right? I think people forget that our cells are really, really smart, right? Mm-hmm. And they're actually doing things for a purpose, and everything has a balance and a counterbalance. One of the things that we talk a lot about at BLI is the concept of redox, right? Reduction, oxidation. And that for, you know, every system in our cell, there's a stress that's good and there's stress that's bad, and we react to that. And we're constantly keeping things in homeostasis. And so that homeostasis is really important. So these degradative enzymes that I mentioned, they're there to keep the cell in homeostasis. But when the cell gets really damaged or old or diseased, right? If it's a cancer cell or a fat cell or a senescent zombie cell, then it will start to throw off that system. And you'll start to take that NAD or take that nicotinamide energy for the wrong purposes. Really, I think when you start to go a level deeper on the NAD story, there's more to it than just we use up our NAD as we age and we need to refill the bucket. It's actually we need to fix the things that are eating our NAD and putting them to the wrong places. And that may refill the bucket naturally, and that actually will have a better effect. Because think about it, if I have all this, you know, cancer cell activity in my body, cancers, they love energy and they love staying turned on. So they'll just start looking for energy wherever they can. And what did we say before? NAD is our big energy giver. And so those cancer cells are going to go take all that energy and take all that NAD. So you look and you say, oh, I have less NAD. Well, then I'll pour more NAD in the bucket. Who's going to eat that NAD up? It's not your healthy cells. It's not your methylation processes that are doing the good things. It's keeping those bad cells turned on.
I also think it's important for people to not get scared and go down the wrong path of saying like, oh, NAD equals cancer or causes cancer or is going to give you problems if you take it, because you can modify what we do with that whole Krebs cycle and ATP production, right? I don't think we should have people getting scared of using NAD precursor products, right?
No. And I think there's, you know, there's a place for all of it, for all the different versions that you've seen in the market and for the conversations. So yes. I think one thing to keep in mind, like where, for example, an NAD infusion might be a good fit is if you've really depleted your NAD levels for some reason.
If you're talking about IV infusion,
IV, NAD, IV infusion. So like if I got really sick or I just ran a marathon, I just did something that took a lot of energy and I need that bolus to get me back up to where I should be, that's a good place for that infusion.
Yeah. And you know when you're feeling depleted, like we all know we've had that burnout feeling of like hit the wall.
Right,
and
exactly.
That would be a time where you could come in and get an IV infusion and bolster your resources a bit.
Right, just kind of bring it back up. And same with the precursors, you know, the one thing with the precursors is they have to be converted into nicotinamide before they can then be NAD. So there's just a couple steps in that process. So it's not as efficient of a process, but they do the same thing, right, in that regard of kind of bringing that NAD levels back up. I think the thing that we should, you know, make sure that we do in parallel is fix the things that are happening underneath so that you get the best bang for your buck with all of those treatments.
So then there's a lot of controversy about, do you take NR? Do you take NMN? Which precursor do you take and why? Do you have any thoughts on precursors if you're going to go down that route?
From my perspective, and this will actually, I'll answer that question by talking about 1-MNA because I think that's the best option, but I'll speak to all of them. So in the NAD pathways, like I said, nicotinamide is the only thing that actually gets directly converted into NAD that's accessible to the cell. Mm-hmm. So there's an argument that nicotinamide is maybe the best in the precursor world just because it's the most readily available to be converted, whereas the NRs and the NMNs of the world have to go through a secondary transition to then be available. But what I, you know, where 1-MNA comes into this story and why it's such a fascinating molecule, so that one of those degradative enzymes that I mentioned, that NNMT, that's eating up the nicotinamide, 1-MNA actually inhibits that. So it tells that system, hey, you don't need any more. Let that stop eating up the nicotinamide. Let it turn into NAD. And so you're refilling the bucket from the ground up rather than pouring in from the top. And so by the 1-MNA knows, hey, it's enough. You don't need any more. Let it continue down its, you know, correct path, if you will. And we all have, as we get older, more dysfunction, more NMT. So that's where the 1-MNA comes in, in the NAD specifically. And then what's cool is 1-MNA also has some, you know, unique benefits that are standalone, not just in its NAD management.
I have previously been taking NAD precursors, so I'm trying to gauge myself, like, how do I feel? Do I feel different? Do I feel better? I definitely feel good. I feel really good. But I also was curious, like, should I 100% stop taking my NAD precursors or?
Cycling the precursors and then kind of keeping 1-MNA as your ongoing way to keep regulating NAD and like using the precursors. Because what you don't want to do is overfill the bucket, right? There's a rate limiting factor of how quickly NAD can be converted. And so if you just keep putting precursors in, they're going to start spilling into the degradative enzymes. And so it can't keep up. So that's what I usually tell people is like, if you did a big hike, if you, you know, did a really hard workout and you need a little bit of, and you know, you've used a lot of those reserves, take your precursors and take your 1-MNA. And that's kind of the best balanced way to get those NAD levels back up to where they need to be.
But on a regular basis, you wouldn't take both your precursor and your MNA?
Yeah, you don't really need to because, again, I mentioned like salvage pathway. That's just one of the three pathways for NAD. You get not a lot of niacin from your diet, right? And so that's another, like NAD is also taking your food energy and turning it into ATP. So if you're eating, you know, a rich whole foods diet, you'll still get enough of that energy that is available for NAD without needing the precursors. But I mean, everyone's kind of got their own, you know, version of that. Yeah, their own recipe of that.
But I'm trying to be very scientific. But if you're trying to save dollars, can you just get very inexpensive niacin?
that's definitely like the cheapest way to go. You're still not going to address the underlying dysfunction, right, with the niacin, where the NNMT and the CD38 are going to be consuming. What I do, my kind of combo for NAD management, is I use 1-MNA to inhibit NNMT, and then you can use apigenin to inhibit CD38. And so then you're hitting both of the different degradative enzymes, you're blocking those, and so you'll naturally replenish your NAD.
And then you don't take any NAD precursors, because then that would be too much and you'd still get spill over the bucket.
Yep, exactly.
And you're like 20, so I missed the boat. I should have been starting this like 20 years ago. What is the right age to start NAD?
I mean, I always say the right age to start longevity is before you're even thinking about it, right? Which is a little oxymoron, but it's definitely, I'm glad that the conversation of longevity is starting to bridge beyond just like, I've gotten old and now I don't want to get older. And now it's, I'm young and I want to stay healthy. And I think that is true at every age.
That's so true. I definitely feel that there's a peak when you're like, you hit 50 and you're like, wait a minute, I have to age well. What if I learn all the things I've been screwing up? Let me fix it. But it's even far better to, I have the philosophy that we want to maintain our enzyme strength, energy, cellular levels at age 30. Like if I can remain 30-ish on the performance of the cells and all the cellular processes, then I'm going to do pretty great for the next 50 years.
Yeah.
But that requires a lot of tweaking, all these reactions.
It does. But I think what's cool and like what I've learned as I've gotten deeper into this, it's a lot of tweaking, but when you go kind of, again, down to the cell, you start to realize it's, you know, a couple key things that like keep your mitochondrial functioning, and that will go a long, long way. Keep your NAD stores in the right place, that'll go a long, long way. And yes, there's a million ways to tackle that, but like then it makes it a little bit less overwhelming, because you're like, okay, I'm just, this is my little bucket of supplements or things that I'm doing for mitochondrial function. And I know that mitochondrial function spans beyond any organ system. It's true of all of them, which is kind of why, like, just as a quick digression, but when I was kind of prepping for this and thinking about it, I was excited to kind of talk to you about the skin side of it, because I think people lose sight of that. You know, your skin's your biggest organ. It's trillions of cells. And so when you start to say, like, let me fix cell function, then you can fix skin function. Like, especially in the NAD conversation, the skin is using massive amounts of energy. It's constantly turning over, it's constantly regenerating. And so it requires a lot of that, you know, energy need from the NAD system. So we got to make sure that that's there for it. So I think people forget that, like, what's happening literally inside your cell is manifesting on your skin.
So do you feel like people who are on these supplements actually externally are aging well? Because sometimes I go to longevity conferences and I see these speakers on stage that seem very ancient looking, and that they're not even putting any lotion on, or their skin does not look really, you know, glowy and wonderful. So like there's a strange crossover between the amount of supplements people pour in and still aging is happening.
I mean, I think you have to approach from inside and outside, right? Because your skin is taking the brunt of all the environmental forces that are being put on it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got way more injury and insult that it's having to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So it needs maybe a little extra love and attention directly to it. But you can't, so you have to do that side of the you know, treatment, but then you have to do the inside as well, because if you're not fixing those things, you can do stuff externally all day and it won't ever actually change the trajectory.
That's so true. Why do we suppose that NAD drops at all in the first place? Like if it's a perfect equation, and I'm assuming, you know, cellular equilibrium and energy has been so beautifully calibrated through evolution, but why would it start to deteriorate? Is because of these external toxicities of the modern world? I wonder what's the root cause of NAD starting in your 20s so great and then just starting to taper.
Regardless, right? As we spend more years on this earth, you are exposed to more insults in your environment. And we all know, I mean, the millions of things being talked about with plastics and endocrine disruptors and, you know, et cetera. So you're going to have constant cell stress on your body, and that cell stress is going to be greater than your body's ability to keep up with it naturally, which is basically aging, right? When your body's not able to regenerate at the rate that it's being insulted. And so when you say like, okay, well, why is NAD dropping? Well, it's really because you have more cells that are damaged, and those damaged cells are consuming the NAD. So that's like, that's why I say it's not, oh, I got older and my NAD dropped. It's I got older and I have more damaged cells eating more energy, eating more NAD. And so they're consuming that NAD faster. Mm-hmm. And so just by being around for longer, you're going to have more of those dysfunctional cells. And that's essentially everything we do in life, is to get rid of those dysfunctional cells so that you only have properly functioning cells. And so if you had, if you were perfect and you did everything perfectly and you didn't have any exposure to any of the bad things around us, you would hypothetically never need to take NAD precursors. You would never need to take one MNA. You would just be in this great homeostasis of energy production, which is why, like, when you're 18, that works, because your body is ripe, you know, strong enough, your cells are strong enough, you have more good cells to keep you in balance.
You mentioned apigenin, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. Can you explain what is that and where does that impact the CD38 or the cycle that you're talking about?
Yeah, so apigenin is just another supplement, naturally derived, and it basically does the same thing on the other side of the coin that 1-MNA is doing to NNMT. So it's inhibiting that CD38. So CD38 is going to eat up that NAD directly, and so apigenin blocks the substrate CD38 is trying to attach onto to steal that NAD. And so it doesn't allow that NAD to be used by CD38 for its purposes, which are often, again, feeding these dysfunctional processes that are requiring a lot of energy, like in a senescent cell, right? That's spewing off and saying, oh, you know, I'm like a zombie cell that's got no real brain to say, oh, I've got enough of what I need. So it just keeps asking for more. So those are like the two sides of the coin, right? Of if you can block CD38 and inhibit NNMT, then you can maintain those NAD levels.
Are there some other, NAD is trending so much right now. What do you predict to be like the next big molecule that's going to hit public attention?
That's a good question. Well, I'd love for it to be 1-MNA.
Yes, right.
I'd love for 1-MNA to sort of start to take over that conversation a little bit, or even just having this be a little bit more well known, that just throwing NAD into the bucket is not necessarily going to be the best thing for you. Because again, and I guess I didn't actually answer your question about what are 1-MNA's other benefits. So you have all the benefits of what it does to modulate NAD, right? So it has all whatever NAD's benefits are. But additionally, it actually has a lot of its own anti-inflammatory properties. So it can inhibit, for example, like the NLRP3 inflammasome, which is one of, you know, the inflammasomes that kicks off cytokines and interleukins. It can also lower nuclear factor kappa beta, which again is like turning on inflammation in the body, but then it upregulates your NRF2, which is acts as like the master switch for your antioxidant defense. Mm-hmm. So it does a lot of these, like, again, little knobs and levers of inflammation to keep the inflammation down so that the system can properly regulate. And then the last one, which is actually interesting for our, you know, discussion on skin, it has its own like endothelial function properties or endothelial protective properties. So it can promote angiogenesis, it can improve blood flow, and it actually, when you kind of dig into the system, it frees up nitric oxide, which can kind of have its own vasodilating effect. So that allows, right, more blood flow, more turnover. It's why you see nitric oxide in a lot of skin products, right? Because you want to bring that you know, fresh circulation into the skin cells. So that's kind of another interesting little independent benefit that it has, which I think does carry over into, you know, not just skin, but across all of our systems.
That's why is the actual name of the product is Endothelio. So maybe related to its endothelial function.
Exactly.
And what kind of feedback do you get from people or patient outcomes when they start taking one MNA?
So a lot of people who are in a very dysfunctional, like mitochondrial dysfunction, they just had COVID, their mitochondria are shot, they'll pretty quickly feel some energizing benefits because, again, when you turn these NAD systems on, you create more ATP, you turn the mitochondria back on. And so you get that natural energy. We had one customer who he actually sent us a letter. It was very cute. He's like, I hike this mountain behind my house every single day for 7 years. And I hiked it. I've been taking one MNA for 2 weeks and I hiked it today. And I took 3 minutes off my time and I've never done it faster than this time.
Wow, that's pretty good after 7 years.
I think when you get those mitochondria kicked on, you get that fatigue. Like a lot of the feedback we'll get is about, you know, I have less fatigue. I just have more energy for my workouts. It's subtle, but it's definitely like getting that mitochondrial, that energy function. There actually was a study. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
There was a study kind of right after COVID that they did with one MNA on long COVID, and they saw significant like increased ability for like the distance that somebody could walk or the rate at which they could sit up in these long COVID patients with one MNA. And that was at like even just the standard 58 milligram dose, which was pretty cool.
Nice. And is there a benefit to taking a higher dose?
Yeah. So we, there's actually been studies that support up to 250 milligrams is safe and effective. And we strongly encourage people who are taking, or who are like dealing with anything that's disrupting their mitochondria or doing NAD dysfunction to take up to that 250. So I usually take two caps a day, which is 58 times two, so like 116 milligrams. And then if I'm sick or if I just did like a big workout or something like that, then I'll up that. And I actually like to take it, like our team has started taking it before their workouts, just because we kind of see that subtle but impactful, you know, I can do one more rep or I can run just a little bit faster. So little things like that.
I'm going to have to double up. I've just been taking one a day.
Yeah, so definitely the two is, I think, the good like standard maintenance dose.
And what other things are you doing in your overall supplement regimen? Any other good supplements that you're on or your antioxidants?
Yeah, well, I think it's funny. We've been having a lot of supplement conversations just across all my worlds. How do you keep people engaged in supplements without getting them fatigued? Because they're, you know, their supplements are important, but people forget why they're taking certain supplements for certain things. So one of the things that I've even personally come back to is, okay, like what are my foundational ones? Like my everyday must take because they're that critical. And that at least helps me frame, you know, on days that I'm like, oh, I don't want to take that many pills, like, or I don't have a time. What do I take? So I think vitamin D3 is like one of my biggest ones, D3 with K2. And I'm one of those like rare people, I actually almost overdosed on vitamin D because I was taking too much, which is like incredibly hard to do.
Wow.
So I did back that down a little bit. Magnesium, taking that, you know, before bed, but also in the morning. And then some version of like your omegas, whether you want to do, I do krill oil omegas just because they have a little less, like risk, I guess you could say, than your typical fish oil omegas. And then I also do plasmalogens, which plasmalogens are the lipids that protect the neurons in your brain. And so keeping, you know, those, much like keeping your NAD levels where they need to be, making sure that you have proper brain communication by having enough fatty substance to get those signals across. That's like my very poor man's version of it. But
do you guys make that through Longevity Labs also, or no?
No, we're good friends with Dr. Goodenow. His company is called Prodrome, and he's the one who supplies that. So that's kind of another one in my core. And then one of the other products that we have in Longevity Launch Labs that I've also really taken into my own regimen is ketones. And we work with a product called Kinetic Pro, and it's a clinical dosed ketones. And so ketones are really cool too, because they work in that energy system as an alternative energy source to glucose, which is super valuable for your brain and your heart. So everything is kind of centered around like cell energy. And I know one of the questions you had sent over is like cell metabolism, right? Cell metabolism is just your body's ability to create energy, do redox functions, and stay in homeostasis. And if you can keep all of those things working, then your health will be, you know, far and above where, you know, keeping you alive needs to be. So that's where I always focus, is like, what are the biggest bang for my buck supplements at the core level? And then obviously you can't lose sight of just the exercise and the stress management and all those things that get lost in the supplement conversation, but are critically important to all of this.
Very true. Well, maybe that's going to be the plasmalogens are going to be a new trending thing with all the Ozempic use and rapid weight loss and people's lipid profiles dropping when they lose weight too. That sounds interesting. What do you predict as you know, the direction that longevity is taking? Do you feel that everyone's going to jump on board? I think modern medicine, when you go see your internist and you're getting your yearly physical, is you basically get a set of labs and they say like, okay, you're not going to die. Your labs are good. We screened you, right? You're doing fine. You haven't got any of the deadly markers. But is there going to be a day and age where we get to tell people like, these are some things you need to do, supplements you need to take, we need to work on longevity management and natural deterioration processes?
I think you're seeing it. I mean, this has stuck with me. One of my friends in this space, he said, you know, it's a longevity wave and it's finally starting to crash. And so I've been around this space for most of my life, and just watched it start to evolve slowly, slowly, slowly. You know, at BLI, we were doing semaglutide in 2017, like before anybody had any idea what GLP-1s were. So you're seeing these certain things like GLP-1s start to make it into the mass market, which has broken the conversation apart for the longevity discussion, right? And that's really exciting to me. And I actually credit GLP-1s to opening this a little bit faster, where people are starting to say, I'm not content with I walk into my doctor, they say everything looks like it's in the green zone, even though the green zone doesn't really mean anything, and be on your merry way. So you're seeing more and more accessible options for people to get deeper biomarker analysis, right? And understand what lab values mean. You're seeing a lot of partnerships start to pop up between places like Lifetime Fitness or Equinox and longevity clinics. So you're seeing it make its way more and more into our everyday world, which I think there's the early adopters, right? And then there's like the kind of early adopters, and those people will continue to pull the tail forward. I'm excited. I think the industry is really exploding. The catch 22 to that is it's definitely getting harder to find like legitimacy. You have to be a little more discerning. You got to watch out for the charlatans and the snake oil salesmen and all the other players who have seen longevity as a cash opportunity, because I do think that's also made its way as the negative of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of products out there that consumers really have no idea how to vet the claims for. And so like, it's really refreshing to find someone like yourself who's a biomedical engineer, and then the very careful research that's gone into vetting this product. And what does it take to bring a product like that to market?
One of the things that we've learned just through launch is, you know, especially like, we believe in educational marketing. We believe in like driving the science to then sell the product. And with some of these more complicated products, like 1MNA, you really have to educate the doctors, and then the doctors, and then a lot of patients will just listen to their doctors, and they may understand like this much of it, but they'll start to learn more and more. Mm-hmm. So we really, you know, start with educating the doctors, getting to know a lot of the practitioners in the space, and then helping give them the tools they need to communicate the story to their patients. So that's kind of like how then you bring it here. I mean, first, like even just communicating with the overseas partners and figuring out how all the logistics of that work is its own its own beast. It's interesting. One of the things I learned through the process was, especially like in Europe and overseas and places like that, just the grant system and the funding system for a lot of the research institutions is a little bit different, where there's a lot of motivation to like research products or research molecules for the sake of research, which is a little less prevalent here, right? Here, it's a little bit more like, let me research something to turn it into a product. And so like 1MNA has been being researched for a decade, right, in Europe. But it wasn't really like, it was kind of a product, but it wasn't like a huge product, even though it had all this research behind it. And so then bringing it to the States, where it's a little bit more of this market for supplements and for longevity, allowed it to get a little bit of that understanding beyond just the research realm.
Well, I'm so impressed, and I can't wait to report back to everybody on the benefits of taking the 1MNA. And the more I learn, the more I realize how much more we need to learn.
Yes, it's always a rabbit hole.
It definitely is. So like, I think you're absolutely very grounded in the right approaches, like these whole foods, exercise. It's funny, because as much as we get very scientific, we always boil down to the same good, like eat good foods, play out in the sun, yep. Build your muscles and exercise. And great skincare beyond that.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool. Like, I mean, when you really do boil down to the cell, right? That's why all those things are so important, because they're the biggest bang for your buck. They fix all the processes that are going wrong. It's like, yes, I can take this supplement to do this thing, which is also helpful, but exercise, sleep, getting sunshine, like those are what your body was always programmed to use as a reset for all the things that are going wrong inside.
Well, it was such a pleasure chatting with you and learning more about 1MNA. And where can people find you or check out your products?
Yeah, so for any practitioners that may be interested in like a wholesale account or something to sell to their patients, they can reach out to us at 1MNA.com. And then for individuals who are interested, you guys can also reach out at 1MNA.com. But we are partnered with, we have one of our other groups at launch is called OHP Health. And OHP Health is our clinically curated supplements store. And so that's where, you know, these are all products that we've vetted. We've worked with clinicians to make sure that they vet them, and just providing a place for everybody to go find products they need. So that's where the easiest way for somebody to just buy a bottle of it is through OHP Health.
I'm going to have to set up an account.
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely. We'll get you set up in this.
Thank you so much, Courtney. I hope you guys learned a lot from Longevity Labs. I hope you're going to check out your own NAD supplement regimen and think about adding 1MNA for the safety and driving things down the right pathway. And don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K. It's DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find our incredible skincare, including our stem cell growth factor and hyaluronic acid, vitamin C, all the things skin actually needs to stay healthy and well. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.